If it's a healing, just a physical healing, that's not an issue really. But if it has a demonic origin, the demonic spirit will always try to come back and manifest it in the form of that pain. That's where you have to stand. So we had to teach them how to stand because it kind of would come and go. But pretty interesting to watch how the whole thing unfold. One guy with arthritis in the 60s in his hand and couldn't close his hand. And so he can close his hand now. Just a little some simple things, but we're praying for more. But thank you for your prayers. But we did see the Holy Spirit do some pretty cool stuff. Mark and I set up Friday night about 2 in the morning talking about it all. We got excited. I'm still recovering from staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, who's going to pray for me? Linda the Tiger Talier. You have the anointing. Would you pray for me? Amen. Well, last week we were talking about the two sort of principal realities or truths that help us enter in to experience the kingdom of God, the reign of Christ, and that are foundational if we're going to not only experience the reign of Christ, we're able to dispense it, release it to other people. And it's from Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the good news of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of heaven is within reach. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So last week we talked about cultivating a lifestyle of repentance. Again, not thinking in terms of repentance as being walking around feeling bad all the time and beating yourself up. We're really talking about a perpetual surrendered heart. And then being intolerant towards anything that would challenge the lordship of Christ, His authority in our own life and heart. Anything that would challenge Him being as the one thing desire, to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Any idols that try to rival. And the scripture says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It says in Hebrews, "Without holiness, no one will see God." And we're not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about seeing God tangibly, active in my life and in the lives of others through me. And I desire to see God. I want to see God fully demonstrated in my life. I want to see Christ on full display through my life, totally. Don't you? And so repentance, that place of surrender, is part of it. Repent, he says, and believe. There is this one scripture I wanted to read to you. I think if you read the One Thing devotional, this was there. But I love this verse. This is when Israel again has gone through a time of compromise and spiritual passivity, and then they're now moving into a place of repentance and transformation and change and renewal in their own lives. And he says, talks about in Joel chapter 2, "So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for He has given you the early rain for your vindication, and He has poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain. And the threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil." That's all talking about the harvest of the Holy Spirit, the grain, the harvest of His presence, the harvest of the activity, fruit growing, increasing, ever increasing in presence, His presence, and your experience of His presence, in presence, and favor and influence. And it happens on the threshing floor. And you know, threshing floor is a place of separation, the place where you separate the wheat from the chaff. And so God wants us to live our life like Ruth did. As she, you know, the betrothals happened as she laid on at the floor, in the threshing floor. And she asked Him to be one with her. And she wanted to take His name. And so she could have and experience everything that He has in redemptive love for her. And so threshing floor is an attitude of repentance, living in a place of perpetual surrender, where you allow the Holy Spirit to show you anything that would rival His lordship in your life and His priority in your life, His first place in your life. And it's from there the harvest begins to come, your experience of His presence and His kingdom. So that was just sort of a follow-up on last week. The second thing he said is this: Repent and believe. Repent and believe. A lot of what people want to do, what we have a lot of in the body of Christ, is because we want to get blessed. And we want God to use us. So we talk about faith, 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 faith. I mean, there have been so many books talked about faith. There are so many conferences on faith. There aren't a whole lot of them on repentance. Because that's not a fun subject, but it should be. Remember last week he said, blessed are those who mourn over their sin, for they shall be Holy Spirited. They shall be paracleted, comforted, the same word for Holy Spirit. That every time I come to a new place of surrender, the Holy Spirit comes again and fills. Repentance is an awesome, awesome and wonderful thing. That attitude of leaning towards surrender at all times. That attitude. So that has to be undergird faith. If you want to try to walk in faith, but you want to live a compromised life, eventually it'll fizzle out. Often, if your ministry grows enough, it'll fizzle out in public humiliation. So it's got to be undergirded with a whole thing of threshing floor. And from the threshing floor place, then you begin to walk in faith. And what I want to talk to you about today is not just personal faith, though we'll talk about that more in the future, and the things I'm going to say to you today are certainly involve that. But I want to talk about creating a culture of faith in this place, among us. Now, again, it'll be applicable to your personal walk every day. I wasn't sure I'd get that word out right, applicable. But it also is about our corporate reality. So that we create an atmosphere that we're not having to fight through unbelief all the time to get to those places that God wants us to be. You with me? And we'll get back to this one scripture in just a few minutes, but if you remember when they came down off the mountain, again, I think I put this in the One Thing devotional this week, on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's recorded in several places, but the Matthew passage and the Mark passage say a couple of different things, but when they couldn't cast a demon out of this young boy, and Jesus rebukes them for their unbelief, and they get along with him, they say, Lord, why can't we do this? Well, the Mark passage says, it says, because this only comes out by prayer and fasting. Well, the word fasting shouldn't be there. He said, this only comes out by prayer. But the Matthew passage doesn't even put that. And he said, why couldn't we deal with this? And Jesus said, because of the littleness of your faith. Because if you only had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to this mountain and it would go. You could make this mountain move. And what I mentioned this week in the One Thing devotional was this, is that I discover that we've made such an idol of faith. And faith is very important because the just live by faith. This whole thing is about faith. But we've so focused on faith, we've treated faith like faith is the God. And faith is the key. The key is God. Faith is just the thing that opens that door to Him. It's all about Him. And as I mentioned in that devotional, I've discovered people trying so hard to get mountain-sized faith just so they can move a mustard seed. But Jesus said all you need is mustard seed faith to move a mountain. And you can't get much tinier than mustard seed. And so He was speaking to His disciples about a culture of faith in their own lives. And so what I want us to do is to God raise our level of expectation. And for us to start moving towards tiny faith. Just mustard seed faith. If mustard seed faith can move a mountain, let's just say Jesus meant that literally. Now I know it could be metaphorically, you know, mountain situations, things are so big. Let's just say He wasn't kidding. And He meant that seriously. I've never met anybody or read of anybody who's ever moved a mountain by faith. I mean, I've known of people who've raised people from the dead. Heidi and Ron Baker's ministry, they've recorded so far, documented 450 people raised from the dead in Mozambique. But I've never heard of them tell the mountain to go and the mountain leaving. So what that would say to me, now, let's just pretend He meant that not just metaphorically. I would go, then I don't know of anybody since Jesus who's ever just had mustard seed faith. So raising the dead must just take like little bitty, teeny, weeny, microscopic faith. So we're not moving trying to get to us to mountain-sized faith. We're just trying to get to, like, you got to get it under the microscope to discover kind of faith. Alrighty? That helps me. Now, there's a few things I want you to see, and I'm going to go through this quickly, because I want to kind of show you a pattern. Jesus was a great discipler. And what Jesus was doing with his disciples all the time is that Jesus was giving them truth and then demonstrating the truth. Now, his ministry to those around, he was like going, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is within reach. And then he would demonstrate the kingdom of heaven to them. People would get set free and healed. Demons would be released, all kinds of stuff. They would encounter forgiveness and inner healing, all that stuff. You know, but his disciples were being taught so that Jesus could pass on the mandate. So that once filled with the Holy Spirit, they could go and do the same things he was doing. Just as the Father sent me, so send I you. Right? And so he kind of does lecture lab, lecture lab, lecture lab. Tell and show. Not show and tell, but tell and show. Well, he would show, then tell, and then show again. And so I want to show you kind of how he did this in Mark's gospel. Because he's trying to create in them a culture of faith. All right? Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, and I'm not going to read all this stuff because we don't have time. But in Mark chapter 4 is the parable of the seed and the sower. And parables are intended to give insight into the mystery of living life in the kingdom. And the parable of the seed and the sower is the key parable to understanding all the other parables. So it is sort of the underlying dominant word about life in the kingdom. Just like the arch miracle, we're told, was the wedding in Canaan. And there are principles there that you can discover in every other miracle or in every place we're called to release the miraculous activity of Jesus. That he can transform something totally. But it's never too late. He saves the best for last. All kinds of cool stuff. But it says about this parable, the seed and the sower. It says, verse 11. And he was saying to them, repeatedly saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, and to those outside they get everything in parables, in order that while seeing they may not see, may not receive. And then in verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? He said, if you can't understand this parable, you can't understand any of the parables. And the parables give us insight into how to navigate the kingdom of God. And therefore, this parable has to be understood if you're going to understand how to live in the kingdom. All right? Now, what's this parable about? Without going through it, this parable is about this. Hearing God's word and believing it. And holding fast to it. Persevering in that. That's what the parable is all about. The foundational principle of life in the kingdom is hearing the Lord and believing with perseverance until you see 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. So basically, the bottom line of the kingdom, life in the kingdom, is living by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the voice of the Lord. You only get to believe what He speaks. You can't believe what you make up. It's a response. All right? So He starts off His discipleship with these guys with this kind of parable. And letting them know it's all about hearing My voice and believing. Hearing the word of the Lord and believing. All right? So when he gets to the end of the parable, he says to them in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying repeatedly again, saying, take care what you listen to. For by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. He says, take care how you listen. Learn to discern the difference between the voice of the Lord and your own voice and the voice of the enemy. Have the mind of Christ. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We have been seated in the heavenly places with Jesus, right? We were buried with Him, His crucifixion was our crucifixion. His burial was our burial. His resurrection was our resurrection. We were raised up with Him and share His resurrection life, which gives us His power. But we were also raised up with Him and seated in the heavenly places, which gives us His authority. And therefore, we're to seek those things which are above, set our mind on things above, because we can use our keys. We've all been given keys, remember? Keys of the kingdom. In Matthew 16. And keys are for access. So that you can look, you can seek those things which are above, set your affections on things above, because you're an above life person. Jesus said His life was life from above, as opposed to those who don't know Christ, who aren't saved, who have a below life life. So they can only see things on the ground level. But we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We have access to discern with the mind of Christ what is the will of God. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And because we have the keys, we're able to access heaven. And when we access heaven, we can see what's normal. We've talked about this recently. We can see what's normal. Right? And because we're seated with Him, we can see all the things we have the authority to enforce, to believe for. And we have the power of Christ to back it up. He said, be careful what you hear. Take care what you listen to. Because to the degree that you hear His voice, you discern His will, and do it, you'll be given more. That's one of the reasons I keep saying to us, be intentional. Pray for everything that moves. Be rude. Break in line. Get greedy. I want to pray for that person, regardless of what it is. Because the more you're faithful with that word from God about doing the things that Jesus did, He will increase the measure. You with me? You'll find yourself praying for folks getting healed of headaches. And next year, praying for folks who get healed of cancer. Be careful how you listen, he said. In other words, pay attention to the Word of God. If you will be intentional to be obedient in faith, he said, He'll just give you more. Right? Okay. We are not going to get through this today at all, of course. Then look what he says in verse 26. And he was saying, again repeating himself, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the ground and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How, he himself doesn't know. The earth produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now here he's talking about, how do I cast seed into the ground? I've gotten the word, or I've discerned God's will. You know, and I'm believing it. So I'm going to cast the seed into the soil of that circumstance, that situation. And how it works, I don't know. All I know is I'm going to believe. And I'm going to pray for people with headaches. I'm going to pray for them and pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. And then all of a sudden, one day, everybody I'm praying for has got headaches or getting healed. How did that happen? I don't know. You plant it in the seed. You go to bed at night. You just do the thing. Be careful how you listen. And the idea there is not just that you can get God's will, you can hear God's will, we're all wired to hear God's voice. He's saying, be careful how you listen, because what was the parable of the seed and sower? When you get the word, believe it and hold fast to it. Persevere. Don't let it go. Don't let it be stolen. Don't get discouraged. That's true personally too, isn't it? God speaks something into you. That is real, whether it's your experience or not. A simple thing like God has shown you that you went to the cross and died with Him. You've been raised up with Him. Sin doesn't have the power to control you anymore. That is true. Hang on to that word. Believe it. And if it's not your experience for 2 years, it's still true. You keep planting that seed in the ground. Because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, that the Spirit, He said, here is the Spirit of faith. I heard and therefore I spoke. And that's not the name it and claim it thing. But there's truth to that. You believe in your heart and you what? Confess with your mouth. He's the high priest of my confession. Y'all, it's hard to walk in faith. Using this example, and some, I said, well, how are you doing? I go, well, I know I'm crucified with Christ, and I know that sin has no more power over me, and I know that Jesus is my victory. And if I'll just believe, thank Him for my victory, I can get set free. But man, I'm in bondage to this thing. I don't know if I'm ever going to get set free. I'm like, what? You can't be double-tongued in that, right? So I love that. He said, just plant the seed in the ground. If God said it's true, it's true. Hold fast to it. Persevere. Why he added that in the Luke passage as well as the Mark passage. Hold fast to it. Persevere until you see the fruit. And then you'll just go to bed one night, wake up, and my goodness, they're getting healed. That's what I'm discovering, right? And we're talking mainly again, y'all, about signs and wonders stuff because that's just where we're at in this Christ-likeness stuff. But it also works in holiness. Same principles, with me? Already? In verse 33. No, verse 30, I'm sorry. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? About what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the ground, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches, so that the birds of the air can nestle and nest under its shade. Now, do you understand what Christ just did? Christ just said, and I'm comfortable now with slowing down. I know we're not going to get through this week. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 20, look at this again, Mark 4, verse 20. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good ground, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Let me read the Matthew passage. From Matthew chapter 13. He says about that fourth soil. Verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good ground, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, 30, 60, and 30. Now let me read to you the Luke passage. I think this is important to kind of do it this way. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, and the seed on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. They hear it, they understand it's God, they accept it, they hold it fast and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, understand again, here's the sequence. Jesus is discipling them to create a culture of faith in them. And he's saying, here's how the kingdom of God works. Hear the Lord. Hear, get a word from the Lord. Believe it. And hold it fast in perseverance. Don't let time, don't let the things of the world, this whole parable, don't let the troubles of the world or time discourage you, steal that away from you. And he said, and in time, what's going to happen? He said, you sow that seed. You've heard it. Now you take that and you sow it into your life, into the situation. He said, in time, without even knowing how it works, you begin to see the harvest of it in your life or in your ministry. And then he goes on and said, I'll even make it easier for you. If you just have a seed the size of a mustard seed, one of the smallest things there is you can put on the ground. He said, something so big will grow. But it's about hearing the word, believing the word, holding fast to the word, persevering with the word, and then before you know it, at some point, it begins to bear a harvest in you. It'll be so huge. And all it takes is mustard seed faith. Amen? Do I have time for one more? All right, let's do this, and then we'll finish. I got about a third of the way through this thing. Now, notice the sequence, what he's done. So it says in verse 35, and on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I remember I've told this story before. Years ago, when I first gave my life to Christ and I was suffering from the mental illness, clinical anxiety and clinical depression, and it felt so horrible. Anybody here who's ever struggled with mental illness of any level, it's such a horrible feeling. You just don't think you're going to make it. And I just didn't think I was ever going to make it. I didn't think I was going to. My story is like, because my birthday's on Christmas. Christmas is my favorite thing in the world. And so I didn't think I'd ever have another fun Christmas again. That's how deep I was about things. And I just thought, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to end up in a mental institution somewhere, and I'm not going to make it. And I used to read that scripture, and I would go, you know, Lord, that sounds like faith to me. That's the way I live. I get in a situation, it looks like I'm going to drown. I run screaming to you going, Jesus, help, 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 help. And he gets up and you help. That's faith, right? I wasn't trying to handle it myself. When in trouble or in doubt, run in a circle, scream and shout, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Our favorite hymn. But Jesus said they had no faith whatsoever. You know why? Teaching, lab, lecture, lab, lecture, lab. Here's how the kingdom works. Get a word, believe it. And no matter what it looks like, no matter how long it takes, sow that seed in the soil and hold it fast. Of your circumstances, that seed, that word that you got, now sow it into your situation by faith. Hold fast, persevere. It's just mustard seed. And before you know it, you're going to see this harvest, the promise come real, come true. Lecture, examples, just a mustard seed. Hey, boys, come here. Casual, see, you don't realize what's going on. Let's go to the other side. What was that? A word from the Lord. Lab, lecture, here's the test, here's the pop quiz. And haven't you discovered in the Lord that pop quizzes are pop quizzes? You know, you're just like going down life and suddenly there's this test, a pop quiz. Let us go to the other side. And so they get in the boat and Jesus is laying his head on the cushion asleep. Why? Because you see, he got that word from the Father. And so they're not going to sink. Can't happen. They're going all the way to the other side. If the boat does sink, it'll be the first submarine in Jewish history. They're going to the other side. Jesus spoke the word. But they're freaking out, and they wake him up. And Jesus said, why don't you have any faith? Why? They flaunt the pop test. He had just given them a chance to practice what he had taught. I've given you a word. You should have been asleep in the boat, too. Jesus was walking in what? Resting faith. He didn't need mountainous faith. He had a mountain-sized God who will keep his word. And so he could rest in that. If you're trying to make your faith mountain-sized to move a mustard seed, you're like, faith, 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 faith. Jesus was just at rest. Because he knew. And he was trying to teach them to know. That was one of the prominent words in my life so many, many, many years ago. Is I had this dear, dear lady who impacted my life in such profound ways open up the scripture to me and said, Chuck, Jesus says to tell you that you're going all the way to the other side. And I've given that word to a few people over the years, and it changed my life. I didn't know what storms I was going to have to go through. I didn't understand all the answers yet. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I knew this. I wasn't going to sink in the middle of the lake. I was going all the way to the other side. That became a word to me. You hear me? Let me just stop here with the sermon. Give a prophetic word. There's three people here today. Three people. I don't know who you are. There's three of you that you need to hear that word. I'm giving you my word. You are going to go all the way to the other side. You are not going to sink in the middle of the lake and die. You're going all the way to the other side. You with me? Now I'm talking to three people who have some issues about either emotional issues too. And they're just not sure they're going to make it, or things, real critical things in their life. But there are many of you here that God's spoken some prophetic promises to, dreams. God wants you to hear, you're going all the way to the other side. Have you heard? Then speak. And don't tolerate anything else. And how does it work? I don't know. He said, you go to bed one night, and there's nothing. You wake up the next day, and there's sprouts. And for us, we're just going to stay intentional, because I believe this, that Jesus heals. I believe that Jesus healed everybody who asked for healing. Jesus says, the Father sent me, so send I you. Do I see everybody I pray for get healed? No. I don't even know if I see 10% of them get healed yet. But I see a higher percentage than I used to. You know why? Because I've just determined I'm going to hold fast to this word. And what's normal in heaven, I'm not going to be passive about on the earth if it's not normal like it is in heaven. If it's abnormal on the earth, we're going after it. Amen? And you know what? One of these days we're going to wake up and that little boy is going to get healed. A boy like that. Years and years ago, we were in Tanzania, and I got to pray for a couple of young girls. I've told this story before. One was 18, one was 20. I may have told this last week. I've been to so many different places, I don't know what I'm telling anymore. But they were both almost totally blind. They had had a virus, and their eyes were like marbles. It was really weird looking. But their reputation throughout all the villages, they were the godliest people in the whole area. Sweet, precious people. When I went to go pray for them, the presence of God was so strong on them, it almost knocked me down. As well as life-altering experiences. And they had walked and traveled for miles and miles to get there to get healed. But the glory of the Lord was on them so strong. And that was probably 8 years ago. And I'm tormented to this day. Not in guilt and shame. I didn't see one thing happen to them. And we saw people get healed on that trip. Two girls, young girls that were deaf who got healed. But see, I'm going back there. In January, I go back. Tim and Jimmy, you were there. And Andrew was there. Luke was there. And I go back to that same place in January. Because I've asked the Lord all these years, God, give me another shot at it. I mean, I'd rather see him get healed before I go back. But God, if they're not healed yet, give me another shot at it. And so, do I believe this God's will to heal them? Yep. Do I believe until they get healed, God can use all this stuff and the struggle to do internal things in them? Yes, I believe that too. But I believe that I've seen some sprouting that I didn't see 8 years ago. And so my prayer is I get to go back there. I get to see those girls. I'm going to ask Jackson, the bishops, wherever those girls are, I want to get to them. And if I can pray for them again. And this is true in all the areas of our life. Amen? God's planted a seed in you about anything. If God's given you a word about anything, God's revealed anything about his will to you, then you hold fast to that word. You sow that seed. And you don't tolerate. Don't back up. Don't let the cares of the world or time disrupt you. You know? Jesus gave you the word. You're going to go all the way to the other side to fulfillment and harvest. Amen? Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.